Welcome to the May 13th, 2007 morning worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today is Parent-Child Dedication Day. Today's sermon is presented by Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled, Making the Difference with Our Families. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
Parent-child dedication, as well as there will be a Mother's Day affirmation a little bit later in the service. Our young people will be handing out carnations to all the ladies in the sanctuary today. So if you get flower and you're not a mother, well, that's okay. We want you to have that because you'll hear about that a little bit later in the service. I want to recognize Big Raj. He's going to come and give us an announcement about Mountain Outreach.
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
I like that. I'm thankful to be standing before you. It's that time of the year that we talk about Mountain Outreach. We had a very, very successful trip. We had a team of Wilbur McBride and his brother-in-law, Milton, Matt Wilson, Bill Guest, Jay Edmonds, David Voss, Barbie Morgan, Melba Jones, and myself. Had a great trip. They looked after me like a king. I'm telling you, that was some trip. We experienced something that we don't have very often, and that is to view the site flat and plenty of room. That is almost unheard of up there. Now, we got a road that's about that steep to get up to the top of that mountain, but it's going to be a great building site. We've got a great family. A mother and a father, and both of them have jobs and are working. And they've got two beautiful children, two and one. And they're living in an absolute shack. It's a storage building with two-foot windows in it and one door. And leaks like a sieve. But they are excited about this new house. And we're going to do our very best to make it a great place for them to live. We have started out our budget this year for $24,000. We have $9,700 roughly in the fund already. So we got to get cranked up here. Building materials up about 10% this year. And we're going to be looking forward to building for this family. You'll hear more each Sunday between now and the time we go until we reach our budget for sure. But it was a mission accomplished. I thank that team that looked after me so well to be able for me to go. Thank you.
Thank you, Big Raj. For those who don't know, our Mountain Outreach is a summer mission trip that our entire church goes on and is invited to participate in. We take anywhere from 130 to 150 people up to the mountains of eastern Kentucky, and we spend a week. And in 4 days, actually, a house is constructed and furnished, and the family begins to move in. It is miraculous it is a miracle. And we want you to be a part of that and begin prayerfully considering the opportunity how to support that, either financially or by attending. It is an amazing trip, and we look forward to another powerful week this July. Reminder to you, we are having a special Sunday. Next Sunday morning, our youth will be in leadership on Youth Sunday morning. It'll be a great time together as we discuss the concept time. And a lot of things have been going on recently in the lives of our teenagers that have made them kind of question the whole concept of time and that we don't always have as much as we think. And so we want you to come and to be a part of that, and it's going to be a powerful service next week. We want to say a special welcome to our guest this day. You have already given us your information by signing the welcome pads. We would like for you to raise your hand if you're a guest with us this morning. The ushers are coming down the aisles. They would like to give you a packet of information. Inside this packet of information is tells a little bit of the story of College Park and the history and where we started. You will find a letter from our pastor as well as a newsletter that tells you about the things going on in the life of our church. So if you just raise your hand as the ushers come down the aisles, and they would be glad to give one of those to you this day. One of the things that we do well at College Park is missions. We see people in need all around us, from our next door neighbors to people around the world. And it is one of the best things that we do, and we are honored that God would use this congregation to make a difference. And one of the other things that we do very well is to worship. We gather in this sanctuary each week, and we come together and join our hearts and our voices together to worship God. And that's why we are here this day. You will find in your bulletin an invitation to share in worship. This marks the beginning of our worship service. It is a responsive reading. It comes from Psalm 139, verses 13 to 17. And I invite you to stand now for our responsive reading. I invite you to read the dark print aloud as I read the light print. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb.
I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well.
My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be.
How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them.
You may be seated. Let's pray together. Father, we have come into this place to sing your praises. We've come into this place to hear you speak. Father, each day we are reminded when we listen to the news or we read the paper that this world is broken. Every day that we make mistakes, every day we are reminded we are not perfect. But yet, in your amazing love, in your gift of mercy and grace, we find forgiveness and hope for this world. Oftentimes when we look and we remember looking into the eyes of mothers, when I remember looking into my mom's eyes as a child, and though the world was falling apart, I saw hope in her eyes. You have given us people in our lives to remind us of your love and your grace and the hope that surrounds us. So we thank you for those gifts, those people that you have placed in our lives, who have encouraged us and moved us forward to this day, when we can come into this place and to say with our lives and with our voices that we believe in you and we sing praises to you and to you alone. This is why we worship. And this is why we are here. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Child dedication, and you are participants within that. This morning as we meet together, I want to read a couple passages of Scripture to you that relate to our understanding of how God treats us as His children and what He values. This morning I'll be reading from the Message, the translation, just because it's a little bit different wording, and I like it. So we're going to read from that this morning. From Psalm 127, "Don't you see that children are God's best gift? The fruit of the womb, His generous legacy. Like a warrior's fistful of arrows are the children of a vigorous youth. Oh, how blessed are you parents, with your quivers full of children. Your enemies don't stand a chance against you. You'll sweep them right off your doorstep." And then from Mark chapter 10, a familiar passage. "The people brought children to Jesus, hoping He might touch them. The disciples shooed them off. But Jesus was irate and let them know it. 'Don't push these children away. Don't ever get between them and me. These children are at the very center of life in the kingdom. Mark this: unless you accept God's kingdom in the simplicity of a child, you'll never get in.' Then, gathering the children up in His arms, He laid His hands of blessing on them." I want to invite you, if you would please, take the covenant of dedication. That's an insert within your bulletin, and we'll read that together responsively. Yes. seat. Okay. We are here today to present these children to the church and to consecrate them to God and to affirm this mother as she brings her children for this holy purpose. What do we affirm about these children?
We affirm that each one is made in the image of God and is a child of God by creation, that each is loved and will be included in the experience of this congregation, and that they are God's gifts to us in whom we take delight.
As these infants grow into childhood, what will we tell them about their heritage?
We will tell them about God who created the world, about Abraham and Sarah, the founders of our faith, about Moses, who led our ancestors out of bondage, about Ruth's example of faithfulness, and about the prophets who spoke courageously for God against the superficial values of their day. We will tell them about Jesus Christ, in whom salvation is offered, about the woman in the well, who experienced God's healing grace, about the apostles who grew beyond comfort and familiarity as they sought to follow Jesus, and about the worship and mission of the church.
What will we hope for in these children?
We will look to the day when these children will gather with us Lord's table, when each one will declare faith in Jesus Christ, and affirm the heritage which we will pass along, and come as an adult to choose full commitment to God's will and work.
Do you, as the parent of these children, assume your primary responsibility for keeping them in touch with such hopes and expectations?
Yes, I accept this responsibility.
And do you, the congregation, pledge to work toward creating a nurturing Christian environment for these children?
Yes, we do, for they belong to us.
Then may God be with us, and may He demonstrate His grace upon us. Amen. As part of our dedication, we want to give to these children a copy of God's Word, as well as a certificate to where they can remember today. They probably won't remember it per se, but we can remind them of this day, and the certificate will be helpful in doing that. What'd you do with the cheat sheets? There they are. Okay, we had cheat sheets identifying which child was which.
This is Michaela.
Michaela, this is a copy of God's Word, and I know you're going to read it. Mama's going to read it to you, honey. I know it. Okay. And Aaliyah, this is your copy, honey. Bless you. I know. It excites you, doesn't it? All right. Let's have a prayer together. Dear Father, we thank you for these children. And we thank you for the home that they've been blessed into. And Father, we know that life started a little early for them here. And it's been quite a journey to this point. But we pray that you would continue to bless Beth as she is a loving mom to them and nurturing them. And we pray that you would be with us as we seek to be the family of God to these precious children. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
see me. Come on down. Yeah. Come have a seat right here. I got a few in the audience today. Good morning. Good morning. Y'all have a seat right where you are. I'm going to sit down too. All right. Still got some more coming. Y'all did get something for Mom today, right? What? I bet you did. Somebody got something for your mom? Everybody got something for your mom? Well, we're going to have opportunity to give something extra to your mom today, and you get to take credit for it, okay? Now, I have a question. What is something that your mom has taught you, has tried to teach you? Yes. Oh, I had to learn that. Don't jump on the bed. Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. Yeah, okay. What else has Mom taught you or tried to teach you?
To not light the house.
Okay, to not light the house on fire? Okay, to not light the house on fire. Well, Christy, we'll talk. What else? What else has Mom not has tried to teach you to do?
Clean your room.
How many? Do y'all do that good? You clean your room good? Raise your hand if you do a good job with that. Is it clean now?
Yeah.
Oh, it's clean right now. Okay. Is it clean now, Mom? Yeah. Okay. All right. So we try to clean it. Moms teach us things about how to make our lives better and how to do the right thing. Now, if Mom hadn't taught you how to clean the room, would you know how to clean the room? You just kind of let it. You had clothes piled everywhere. You'd have, you know, there'd be rats there. Oh, it'd just be, there's junk everywhere. Well, you know what? The same thing is true about our relationship with God. We have our mothers and ladies throughout the church. How many have ladies who are Sunday school teachers? Or have had before, or have had ladies who are done, see, they've taught you, they've been in the nursery with you, they've taught you how, you know, in music groups. We have lots of ladies in our church who want to pass on things and to teach us things. And there's a book in the Bible called 2 Timothy. And a guy by the name of Paul was writing to Timothy. And he said, you know what, I remember about your grandmother and your mother, and how all those things that they taught you, all those things about how they wanted you to love God, and you need to continue to do that. Your moms and all the ladies in our church loved you guys so much that they want to teach you good things. And today, Pastor Raymond is going to talk about making a difference in our families. How can you make a difference with your mom? What are some things that you can do to do something nice for your mom?
Do what she says.
Do what she says. Mom, can I get an amen? Okay. I think I heard dad's too. All right. What else? What else can you do to make a difference with your mom today? Do what?
Not yell at your brother.
Not yell at your brother. That's right. Don't yell at your brother. And you're going to see the thing?
Don't argue or yell at your mom.
That's right. Don't argue or yell at your mom. That's right. Don't yell at your sister. Okay, don't yell. See, I knew it. I knew it was coming. Today, we're going to pass out flowers to all the ladies in the church. And when you get home and you see the flower that your mom has or that your grandma has, I want you to give her a hug and say, thank you, Mom, for all that you have taught me. I'm going to try to clean up my room today. I'm going to try to be nice to my brother or sister today. I'm going to try not to yell at you today. And that's when, if you give her a big old hug, you'll be doing exactly what God would have you to do. Okay? We're going to pray, and then I've got certain people that will come out, and they're going to pass out some flowers. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the example of all the ladies in our church, from mothers to grandmothers to Sunday school teachers to nursery workers to prayer partners and to all the others that work so hard to make this place, College Park, a special place for children. We thank you for how they teach us your ways and how they open up the Bible and they teach us your word. Help us just like Timothy, help us to live out that legacy that came before. Live like our grandmothers and our mothers want us to, and to live for you. That's what we want, and that's what we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can go back to your seats now.
Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, on this day, a holy day reserved for honoring and worshiping you. It is a blessing also to be able to honor mothers, Lord, and offer our thanks to you for them. Lord, thank you for mothers, for life and love, and all that you have blessed our lives with through our mothers. Lord, we honor our mothers, those who are still with us and those who have gone on to be with you. Motherhood is absolutely a gift from you, and we are thankful for it. Lord, as we gather as part of the body of Christ and community of faith here at College Park, we are thankful for those who have been mothers to this church. We are thankful for those women who have felt the calling to be leaders and teachers and nurturers within this body of Christ, and who have been a blessing to so many of us who have come behind and benefited from that leadership. Lord, we thank you for the way that you've worked through them to help this church be a place that can minister to others and can spread the gospel and can be a place where we honor your name through the things that we do. Lord, thank you for the way that you have blessed College Park through those who have been mothers to this church. Lord, as we focus today on motherhood and honoring our mothers, let us understand even better the kind of love that you provide for us, a kind of love that looks out for us so much that you provide an earthly mother to take care of us and nurture us, to experience childbirth, to bring us into this world so that we may be who you created us to be. Lord, we thank you for the kind of love that you provide to us that comforts us when we're suffering, when we're grieving, when we're hurting. Lord, we need that kind of love. Lord, we're thankful for the love that you give us that offers us the promise of eternal life despite our sins and our weakness. We thank you for that kind of love. Lord, as we seek to understand and be thankful and honor the kind of love that you have blessed us with through mothers, let us also honor and be thankful for the kind of love you bless us with each and every day, your abiding presence that you offer for us. Lord, thank you for your presence, the many blessings on our lives. Thank you for mothers, and thank you for this day and all its special things. Amen.
Please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, as we stand here on the threshold of new beginnings, we pray for your guidance for our youth and our young adults and all of our young members who are in school facing the life-changing decisions. Help us as parents, grandparents, and fellow church members to support, lead, and guide them as they mature and face the challenges of the future. As we adapt to life without the inspiration and encouragement of our recently departed ones, who are in a much better place, help us to step up and fill the void that is left by them. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray for our staff as they continue to lead us through this transitional phase of our life. Help us to continue to count our blessings, for there are so many. May we always be aware of the less fortunate around us. May we strive to apply the golden rules to our lives, because we have been so richly blessed. And as we return a portion of our blessings, we pray that you would take it and use it to further your kingdom here on earth. In your Son's most precious name we pray. Amen.
We are in our third Sunday of Making the Difference emphasis. For those of you who may be guests with us, let me give you just a short recap. We started January 1 with 90 days of focus, an intense time of reading and studying God's Word, which led us right up to Holy Week. And we experienced our Palm Sunday and Holy Week services leading up to Easter. And we celebrated Easter together. It was a joyous occasion. And then we had 2 weeks of preparation, and we began revival. And we had a wonderful revival week. In that same week, we began to prepare some of us, as I led in revival in Surrey County, the following week. And that's also the week that we began an emphasis called Making the Difference. And the theory is, okay, we've been through all of this. We've been through this experience of 90 days of focus, and we've experienced worship together in Easter, and we've experienced revival. Now, what difference is it going to make? Is it really going to make any difference in our life? How do we apply this? And so we began 2 weeks ago with making the difference in our relationship with God. Last week we talked about making a difference in a relationship with classmates at school and work associates. And with apologies, actually last week we should have talked about family. If you want to think in terms of priority, we began with our relationship with God. We should have spoken about family, but because this was Mother's Day, with apologies, we got them a little bit out of order of priority. But with that understanding, we can proceed from here. Today we're going to talk about making the difference with our families. Now, do you remember our theory, our definition of what difference is? Choir, you've been so helpful through the weeks. The difference is what? Well, they have been very helpful up to this week. The difference, remember we did this whole thing with, pardon? The minuend minus the subtrahend equals the difference. You remember all that? Bear with us. The difference is, very simply, what's left when you take something away. So this morning we're going to talk about families. What's left in families if you were to take away conflict? If you were to take away resentment? If you were to take away unforgiveness? If you were to take away wrong priorities? If you were to take away fear? Some very specific fears that we'll talk about. And in order to begin our discussion today, I want us to look at Ephesians. If in doubt, go back to the Bible. It's a great place to start. It's a great place to end. And Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 21. If you didn't bring your Bible with you and you want to read along with us, there is a pew Bible, hopefully very close to you there. It's NIV, which is what I'll be reading from. So Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present to her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Anytime you read this passage, and the word submission comes up, and it's a pretty widely discussed topic, especially in Southern Baptist circles these days, and as you hear reports and this, that, and the other. And so it breeds a lot of misunderstanding, because the word submission, or subjection as another translation translates, what does that imply? The term submission in our culture implies a negative, doesn't it? Think about it. Submission implies some sort of domination and another partner being submissive to that. That's a very negative thing. That's not scriptural. That definition is not scriptural. If you think about it, Christ was submissive to his Father, right? Christ was submissive to the Father, but was he inferior? No. Go back to John chapter 1, verse 1. If in doubt, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and the Word became flesh, and he made his dwelling among us. we've seen His glory, the glory of the one and the only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So Christ and the Father are one, yet Christ was submissive to the will of the Father. Now look at verse 31. Look at verse 31 again. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. And the two will become what? One flesh. Now, this is not a unique line of thinking for Paul. You may recognize this from Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. That's a direct quote. That was the plan of God from the beginning, that the husband and the wife would become one. One flesh. So how can one be inferior to the other? It's just simply not possible. Submission has nothing to do with inferiority. It has to do with the created order and how God wanted to establish family. Husbands, understand that clearly. Wives, understand that. You see, our first priority, as we talk about making the difference with family, our first priority, husbands, should be to God. Our first priority, wives, should be to God. Our second priority should be to our spouses, to our mates, not our children. Did you hear that? Our second priority should be to our mates, our spouses, not our children. When we get that order mixed up, we have dysfunctional families. When we get that order mixed up, we have a system that is not what God designed for families to be. When parents decide to be, first of all, a parent as opposed to a mate, then the children sense that. Trust me, my sister and I tried our best with the old divide and conquer thing. We were 2 years apart, so we thought, okay, we'll just split this team up and you take that one. It didn't work. It did not work. Because my parents understood their second commitment only to God was to each other. They were one flesh. That's the way God designed for it to be. So bless your children, bless your family by loving and caring for your own flesh, your spouse. You know what the number one fear of children in America, grade school children in America is? Despite what the presidential candidates will tell you, it's not the war in Iraq, okay? So let's get that one out. You know what the number one fear of grade school children in America is? Divorce. Sure is. That has not changed for the last 30 years. That has been the number one fear for the last 30 years of grade school children. Why? Because they see it all around them. Because that shakes the very stability of the created family. Take care of your own flesh. Take care of your spouse. Then and only then can you be the effective parents that God meant for you to be. Unified in your purpose. Understanding the proper priorities in family. And secure enough in your own relationship with your spouse that you can bless your children by being a parent. Be a parent to them. Dads, let me say a word to you. If you're trying to kind of relive your glory days, whether that be successes or failures or whatever, if you're trying to relive that in your sons, then you're destined for disappointment. And you're also destined for lost opportunities to bless your child for who he is. I can honestly say when Carson began football, it's serious football at age 8 or whatever, you know. I think I was the only dad out there that did not want their son to be quarterback. Really. Been there, done that. It hurts too much. Physically, it hurts too much. And so, you know, when Dennis Jones, the coach, came to me the second day and said, your boy is a quarterback. I said, no, really, he's the second coming of Ricky Prohl. He can line up out there and you can throw him the football. He catches great. Because I knew they wouldn't be throwing the football at that age. And that's kind of the deal my wife and I had talked about. You know, she's going to let him play football, but I don't want him to hurt my baby. And I understood that. And I said, so, you know, he could be a great receiver. He said, no, he moves like a quarterback. He throws like, he's quarterback. No. Y'all just think about it. But my son decided he wanted to be a quarterback. So even though that wasn't my first choice for him, that was his desire. That's his dream. So I'm going to do my part. I'm going to be committed to do my part to help him achieve that. Okay? Moms, same thing with daughters. Help them to find what they want to be, who they want to be, how God has created them. Instead of trying to force them to be something that maybe you want for them, help them to see what their gifts are. Bless them by helping them discover how God has created them. Bless that in your child. We have a plaque on the desk in the living room, and I try to remember to look at it each morning before I leave. And it's a Native American proverb, which is very consistent with the scripture we've read. It reads like this: prepare a child for the path, not the path for the child. Think about that. Prepare the child for the path, not the path for the child. See, we need to spend time and focus our energy on helping develop our children to work hard, to achieve their dreams, to understand their giftedness, how God has gifted them. But we also have to help them to understand that God has a lot of children. He has a lot of children, and all of them need to experience success. So disappointments are going to come to our children, and that's okay. And if we try to manipulate the system to guarantee all successes, then we rob our children of the learning experience of dealing with disappointments, with dealing with failures. Children, here's your side of the deal. We've talked to parents. Now let's look at you. Ephesians chapter 6, we continue on. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise that it may go well with you and you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. Honor your parents. It's the first commandment with a promise. And why do you think that is? I believe it was because God knew that children honoring their parents was critical to the survival of the family as He created it. I can tell you an experience where I did not honor my parents. I was 12 years old. I was at that age that my parents could have sold the encyclopedias because I knew it all. All they had to do was ask me. 12 years old, I had the answer to life right here. And as I sat down at the dinner table, I saw that on my plate was a sweet potato. I don't like sweet potatoes. Never have. Has nothing against sweet potatoes. But it was sitting there, sweet potato baked with butter in it. Now, for those of you that know me, you know I have this texture thing. And that sweet potato with butter is slime to me. It's up there with mayonnaise and puddings and everything. I just don't eat it. I can't keep it down. And you have to understand also that my father, you see him as this nice, jovial guy, and he is. But for 31 years, he was a drill instructor. I mean, literally. I mean, not just in family. I mean, he was in the Army. And when you sat down at dinner, you ate what was on your plate. That's how you honored your parents. You ate what was on your plate. I was trying hard. I really was. I'd take a couple bites, I'd swallow, and he'd come back. You know, without a whole lot of detail, you get the picture. I was struggling. And finally, I copped that 12-year-old attitude and just said, I can't eat it. I'm not going to eat it. I saw the eyebrow raise. I thought, well, I'm kind of going too far here. And I heard the line that most parents have said at some point, but son, there are children starving to death tonight. So eat your sweet potato. I never have gotten that one. And so I made the mistake of saying it out loud. You know, Dad, I really don't get what me getting sick on this potato has to do with how it's going to help children that are starving to death tonight. Well, at that point, it's just, we knew what that meant. It meant, go to the bedroom, you're going to get a spanking. And my parents, both of them, whenever they got mad, they would send us to the bedroom. And we always thought that, you know, they sent us ahead where we could sit there and just, you know, but it wasn't. They told me later, we sent you first so that we could cool down because we never wanted to discipline you out of anger. And it took us that long sometimes to cool down. It took my dad a long time to cool down that night. But as he came down the hall, I heard the click, 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 click coming down the hardwood floors. And he opened the door and he sat down. He said, son, saying what you said disrespected your mother and I. I said, I know that. Disrespected us. So do you understand why I'm spanking you? Kids, you've been through this. Everybody's been through this. You have to tell them why they're spanking you. Okay, it's like, just get on with it. And so I said, yes, I understand. I disrespect you. And then we get this line, and it is true. It is true. After you have kids, you'll understand. It really is true. But I didn't want to hear it at the time. He said, that classic line, son, this hurts me more than it hurts you. Right? So I figured I'm going to get it anyway. I went for the gusto. I said, well, in that case, let me spank you so I'll get the worst end of the deal. When I regained consciousness, I... No, don't write my dad. Don't write me. No. No. But I can tell you, young people, that is not the way to honor your parents. And that is not the way to guarantee that you will enjoy long life on the earth, as Scripture says it. You see, I love my dad. I love my dad. I was just testing the limits. I found it. I found a limit. But I was testing the limits. So parents, love your kids enough to set limits and then enforce them in love. You see, there's security in limits. Remember a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the Ten Commandments and how the Ten Commandments were not something to cramp their style. It was something to give them security, to teach people who'd been slaves all their lives how to live as free people. That's what limits are for. A child who has no limits will grow up to be bitter, because limits show love and concern for their well-being. Now, young people, children, understand, you've got to kind of embrace these limits as a sign that your parents really do love you. They're concerned about you. Now, granted, they may smother you to death at times, but understand their focus is to try to protect you. And sometimes they may go a little overboard. They may want to protect you from making the same mistake that they made. And so you don't have to carry the emotional scars that they're carrying. Good parents want to foster independence. We're here to work ourselves out of jobs, okay? We want to do that, but we also sometimes have a hard time turning loose. I remember the first day of school for each of my children. They were tough days. They were tough days for my wife, too. I remember the first day my son drove to school. That was a tough day for me. It could have been for those he encountered along the way, too. I don't know. But I enjoy being with my kids. I enjoy it on those occasions they'll allow me to be seen in their presence in public. It's good. I enjoy being with my kids, but I have to be the parent. I still have to be the parent. But it's a two-way street. Parents, bless your children. Affirm who God has created in them. Help them discover their gifts and their passions, but offer protection by setting limits. Children, bless your parents. Obey them. Look back and smile, because someday you're going to be a parent and you're going to do the exact same things that you said, I'll never do that when I have kids. You'll do those things. Parents, love your children unconditionally and tell them so, even as God has loved us unconditionally. It doesn't mean you have to necessarily approve of their behavior. What it does mean is that you're able to distinguish unacceptable behavior from unconditional love. Children, learn to love your parents unconditionally. Remember, you know, the whole parenting thing, every child is different, and we really are trying our best most of the time. So give us a break. Occasionally, if you think about it, tell us that you love us. It can totally erase a bad day. Amen, parents? It can totally erase a bad day, and it possibly could erase the ill effects of a lousy report card. No guarantees, just a thought. Finally, to us as a church, remember this. If we want to make the difference in our families, we've got to be in church. Why? Because we are the family of God. And where sometimes parents are struggling, another adult, another mom, another dad maybe can be there for support and love and encouragement. We're in this thing together. The second reason we need to be in church is because our culture is trying its absolute best to destroy the biblical notion of family. And the culture is is trying to do that, but the church is where we regain our perspective and our instruction on what it means to be family. So if we want to make the difference in our families, we need to take away those things. Take away conflict and resentment and unforgiveness. Take away wrong priorities. Take away the fear of divorce. Take away, and you can just keep adding to this list. And I hope that you will. The important thing to remember is that we as a family are God's family and we're all in this together. Let me say a word about grace. As parents, we make mistakes every day. God's grace is sufficient. You may have made bad decisions that led to just unbelievable circumstance. You think there's no fixing it. I still serve a God that's in the business of healing hearts and fixing problems. I believe in grace. I believe in mercy. So for this morning, you may want to embrace that aspect of God the Father, that He's going to help heal a broken relationship and restore some bad decisions along the way. Help make them right. As the invitation comes this morning, it's a little bit different. If you're not a believer, certainly we want you to come and know how to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's the most important decision you can ever make. But the second part of the invitation is to us as a church family. A recommitment, if you will, to love and encourage one another. To embrace not just the two babies that were dedicated today, but all of our children. To be a part of loving and nurturing them as one big family. Understanding the responsibility God has given us as the body of Christ to love and nurture one another. Not just the children, but all of God's children. Amen? Let's pray together. Dear Father, we come to you and we ask for your grace and your mercy. Grace for the mistakes that we've made and mercy for the next day, the next moment. Father, we love you and we can't understand fully, our minds cannot fully understand how you could give your Son as a sacrifice for us. But Father, we are so thankful for the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so we come together as your children now, worshiping you, asking for forgiveness, asking for instruction and correction and guidance. And we pray that the Holy Spirit would lead us as we seek to be not only the worshipers of you, but also the spouse that we need to be, the parents that we need to be, and the loving family that we need to be. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you would like to respond, we want to give you the chance to do that. If you would like to respond to the invitation as God places it upon your heart, whatever that may be, certainly we would welcome you to come and make that public. The altar will be open here. If you would like to come and just pray that God would be free to move in this place, that His Spirit would be free to lead and to convict and to guide. If you would like to join College Park, we would love to be a part of your family and include you in our family. And we invite you to come and make that public. Whatever your decision is, we invite you to demonstrate that as we stand and sing together now. remain standing for our benediction. Dear Father, we are so grateful for the chance to be together as your children. We're so grateful for those who you have placed in our lives, our parents, other ladies, other gentlemen, to nurture us. And Father, until that day when we gather around your throne and feel the embrace from you, we now embrace the warmth of your Holy Spirit who you've sent to us to guide us. It's in your precious Son's holy name. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's R-A-M-O-N @collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.